What's your story? Whether you're a client or an independent financial advisor, we know you face many important decisions that can affect your and your clients' long-term financial success. Welcome to the WIN Podcast, What's Important Now with Corey Hymanson, accredited investment fiduciary and president of Hymanson Wealth Advisors. In this podcast, Corey helps you identify your goals and objectives through financial education and comprehensive planning while inspiring you to make better behavioral decisions in your personal finance. With a twist on pop culture and current events, join us as we explore growth and protection strategies for individuals, advisors, and their businesses. Come and discover what's important to you now.
Hello, and welcome to the What's Important Now podcast, or as we like to say around here, WIN, with Corey Hymanson. Corey, good to be with you again. Although looking at these notes, knowing what the topic is today, I'm a little concerned. Are you thinking about going mountain climbing?
You had me at WIN, for the WIN.
For the WIN.
Kind of felt like I was on a game show.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, you know, the way my mind works, you know, essentially, if there's a reference to something obscure in one of these podcasts, about two or three later, we just go full throttle deep into the pool.
Bam, back grab into it that and weird throw it topic. On the ground and go.
Right? So why wouldn't we? Why wouldn't we? That's
exactly.
That's my other, I should almost have the marketing department makes t-shirts of that.
Why?
Maybe with our logo on them and say, why wouldn't we?
Yeah.
I don't know if that really answers
your
question.
I can tell you why wouldn't we when it gets to today's topic, okay? At least personally, I can tell you why.
So today we're going to call this The Climb. And, you know, a few episodes ago.
Good country music song, Corey.
Are we talking the Miley Cyrus version, or was there somebody else that did it before?
No, I like Miley's version, actually.
Okay.
I think it's pretty good. It's a good song, though.
Well, as far as a challenge goes, I think that's how we close this thing. I'm going to wrap it up by tying it back to Miley Cyrus.
Okay.
Again,
I can't wait to see how you do that, but okay.
Based on our budget, we do not have her in studio.
Okay.
Right?
It's disappointing, but all right, fine.
Off on a tangent already, but yeah, so we're calling this The Climb, and there was a few episodes ago or a few podcasts ago that I referenced Mount Kilimanjaro.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have some family friends that are far more adventurous than say I. So they've had this, I don't know if I'd call it a project, but this idea that, oh, you know, some of us couples, you know, shouldn't just create a card club at our house on Saturday nights. We should go to Africa and climb this mountain.
Holy cow. Really?
I can't make this stuff up. You know that.
No, if you made this one up, it'd be a really crazy one. Yeah.
You know, so it's totally random. And so I know you and I have talked also about comedians. What do good comedians do? They find kind of normal everyday things and they make you maybe think about them in a different way.
Yep.
And so as I was sitting around thinking about this, you know, I have not packed my backpack or anything like that yet, but I thought, you know, let's dive into this. Let's see if there's a way to take something like mountain climbing and relate it back to a lot of people that are not in the mountain climbing camp.
All right.
So that's the objective today. We're going to try and make this interesting and connect some dots on different things that normally people don't connect dots on. But if nothing else, I thought it'd be fun to talk about.
Sure. Absolutely. But Kilimanjaro?
Well, it's got a cool name.
Well, I know. I always like the name. I have to admit, Corey, you got me there. That's true.
So, I mean, let's just start there. I mean, Bill, like, I'm not accusing you or claiming that you're a mountain climber, but I mean, are you a hiker or is this anything that's in your wheelhouse?
Not the mountain climbing part. I mean, you know, I've done a lot of hiking. I still occasionally will go on hikes. When I was much younger, you know, the closest thing to a quote unquote mountain climb that I ever did was, there's a little small mountain outside of Santa Fe, New Mexico. And I don't know the official name of it. We always called it Mount Baldy. And it was outside a religious camp that I used to go to in the summers. And a couple of guys and I would go out and, you know, unofficially go up Mount Baldy, as we called it, because it rose just above the tree line. And when you got above the tree line, it was rocks, hence the name. So
there you go. So you're not totally new to the game.
I'm not by any stretch of the imagination, though, a high altitude mountain.
Right. So my history in hiking, this a couple of years ago, my wife and I was speaking at an industry event, but we were in Phoenix or somewhere and had an extra day on the back end of this trip. And sure. So she said, yeah, well, let's go find a trail. So, you know, we went to Google
something, of course. You know,
and our trail was, you parked in a parking lot. This is a very commercial place. And you walked about 15 minutes and took some pictures and then you walked 15 minutes back, you know, so this wasn't even like equipment. I remember saying to her, I'm like, what kind of shoes do I wear for hiking? She's like, well, I don't know. What do you got? I'm like, well, the same ones I wear if I go out to the grocery store or anywhere else. So anyway, that was that. So I know what hiking is. I know the concept of what mountain climbing is, but yeah, certainly not an expert by any means. So if we dig a little deeper into this, you know, I laugh to myself because a topic or an audacious goal like this is so out there that when somebody approaches you about a concept like this, it's easier to answer one way depending on your location or circumstance. So if it's Saturday afternoon and I'm with my buddies watching football at a place eating chicken wings, let's say, and somebody says, oh, we should go climb Mount Kilimanjaro, you know, it's pretty easy to go, yeah, that's a great idea.
That's a great idea, man.
If somebody, you know, books a meeting at my office on Wednesday afternoon and I'm dialed into work and they suggest this, you know, as soon as they leave the building, I'm going to do my research. Just like it's a stock pick or an investment strategy. Yeah. So you start, you know, opening the hood on this thing before you commit by any means. Yep. And so that's what I've done on this topic right here. So according to the experts, the success rate of climbing this mountain is about 65% to 70%.
Mm. Now, so not all those that try succeed.
And I'm not saying the ones that don't succeed die.
Right.
But there is a track record of death trying to do this. So, I mean,
yeah. Well, you know, it's really funny. As it so happens, I know a guy who climbed Mount Kilimanjaro with a group of friends. And he made it to the top, but not everybody in the group made it to the top because some of them got altitude sickness. They just got worn out. They didn't make it all the way. They stopped at a certain point on the trail and said, we'll stay right here till you come back, or we're going to head back down now. But, you know, they didn't die, but, you know, they probably felt like they wanted to, because I gather that a couple of them got pretty sick.
So how disappointing is that? You fly halfway around the world. You think you're mentally prepared for this. And then you realize that this is serious business and, you know, Maybe this isn't going to work.
But a serious mountain.
Yeah. You know, and so essentially what I found is there's like seven large mountains or mountain ranges in the world.
Uh-huh.
And this is number four. So this is kind of in the middle of the pack of the big ones. You know what I mean? So this is not Everest. It is not Mount Everest.
But it's not like your neighborhood hill.
Yeah. So it's like, it's over 19,000 feet tall. Ooh. So, I mean, it's something. You're going to see it if you get there. You know what I mean? And so you mentioned it. It's altitude. It's the climate you're facing. It's, you know, which route do you take up that hill? You know, and it comes back to preparation. And so maybe here's our first bullet point of tying this back to real life. I mean, a lot of those are things that just we all face every day.
I was going to say, that's pretty standard life practice right there, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying we all battle altitude or altitude sickness every day, but, you know, I know guys that bet on football, and sometimes teams that go to Denver don't play very well.
Yeah. No, but there is. Yes, funny, by the way, just as an aside, I've traveled to Denver a few times. I never slept well in Denver. And then I was at breakfast one day, and somebody said, oh, you don't sleep well because, you know, you're a mile high and it makes a difference. And I'm like, oh. Oh. But getting back to your point, yeah, preparation, planning, making decisions about which way you're going to go, those all sound pretty standard life stuff.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing that's interesting to me is the success rate for people that hire a guide to climb this mountain is much, much higher.
Oh, I believe that.
Go figure. You hire somebody that knows what the hell they're doing to guide your route. Shocker, right?
They're really great. There's Bill and Tori out there in their tennis shoes trying to climb the mountain, and they don't get up there. What the heck?
I mean, yeah, I've got one 20-ounce bottle of water. Is that going to get me to the top, Mr. Guide or Mrs. Guide? You know, and so then we focus on the route, right? You know, initially, when you think of a mountain, a lot of people probably think, oh, there's the mountain. Here we go. We go straight up this thing, you know, but this particular mountain, essentially, they say has five primary routes that people can choose to take. And now the shortest one is still damn near 40 miles.
Yeah, I noticed that actually in the notes. I was actually surprised.
Now I should correct that. 40 miles is round trip. So you're 20 miles up the hill.
Yeah.
20 miles back down. Just to put it in perspective, start thinking about walking on rocks and altitude, and you know, it starts to get more real when you put these pieces together.
Well, and also another way to think about it is the shorter routes are almost, not quite, like a marathon up and a marathon distance back down again.
Oh, yeah, you think about it that way. You know, and from what I've read, even the shortest routes, you're still looking probably at 5 to 6 to 7 days of this project. You're not walking 10 miles today and 10 tomorrow and knocking this out in a few days. It just blows my mind. And so even the longest route is like over 60 miles.
Oof.
But they say it's easier to acclimate yourself maybe on that one. And obviously that's just because
that makes sense. That
probably because you're going slower. You know what I mean? But let's tie that back to life. You know, you live full throttle, eating red meat and having other bad habits. It probably affects the duration of the event, kind of in an opposite way of what we're talking about here. But it comes back to choices. You know, we can do a half an hour podcast, but what this really comes down to is choices and planning and probability.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm a probability guy all day long, but if you tell me I can likely achieve this 2 out of 3 times, I pause a little bit. You know what I mean? 90 would feel like a lot better number if I'm going to trek around halfway around the world and try to do this.
Exactly.
And so we talk about preparation. You know, preparation isn't just the, hey, we're going to do this. It's physical preparation, but I would even argue it's mental preparation.
Oh, yes. Very, very much so. And we keep coming back to another practice that's good in real life.
Yeah, let's think about that. You know, especially as we record this in the first part of the calendar year, you know, people make these resolutions. You know, what is the reason that people don't stick with a resolution? I would argue it's mental. You can say going to the gym isn't much fun, but ultimately, if you decide you're going to do it, I think that overcomes the physical part to a certain extent.
Yeah.
You know, I can wish and hope and be mentally strong and say I'm going to climb Mount Everest if I want to with a sweatshirt and not the proper clothing equipment, but at some point it's not going to work.
Yeah.
But so I guess what I'm saying is you have to have reasonable things that you're participating in, and then mental stuff becomes super, super important. And I see it all the time. People make really dumb choices with their money.
It sounds like the name of a book.
I wonder where I can get that.
That's a Listeners, book, call right? our office a book for name. A free Stop copy. Doing dumb stuff with your money, right?
There you go. For the first 100 callers, no. You know, and I've done this 25 years, you know, and I keep banging that drum all the time, but you see stupid stuff all the time.
Yeah.
And if people would just think through things and then weigh their options and make decisions, it goes a long ways. And honestly, if I did choose to climb this mountain and I got back and it was done, maybe it goes in my obituary someday, but you know what? 3 years from now, nobody's going to give a rat's tail, essentially, really? That I climbed that mountain. But maybe it feels good to
you me. You will, though. I mean, you will. It'll be important to you, right?
Well, fair. Fair. But if I did it, then what? Do you then think, well, now I got to climb mountain range number two or number five?
Well, there's some people who are like that. I did Mount Kilimanjaro. I've got to do whatever one comes next, right? That's true.
Yeah. And I don't, at this stage of my life, I don't think I'm there where that, this doesn't seem, I don't have a lot of desire to see every country in the world. I don't have a desire to climb seven mountain ranges. I think as you age, well, certainly priorities change.
Oh yeah.
And yeah, what's important in your 20s or 30s or cool isn't the same in your 50s or 60s and beyond.
Yeah. Right, but I think that there is a merit to doing hard things for oneself, not necessarily for the recognition of others, but because it's important to yourself. You know, I think there's a lot of merit in that kind of discipline, which does translate into real life practices and benefits. You know, I mean, it just does, because there's a lot of things in life that you've got to prepare for. You have to be mentally prepared for. You have to have the right gear, the right equipment, the right financial advisor. You have to have, you know, somebody, a coach, a fitness coach, or, you know, if you're at the gym and you want to stick with that New Year's resolution. Just like you would need a financial advisor if you want to, like, set financial goals and get somewhere. You know, those are good practices, and there's a benefit to just doing hard things because they're hard and they test you and try you. And, you know, maybe you come out better on the other side for it.
I think that's the key takeaway right there. You know, and what I was going to say is, I know you've won awards. You know, you've been commemorated in your industry through the years at different times. And while that felt great, maybe that evening or that day, the bigger takeaway, I'm totally reading into your mind, I guess, is that probably the work you put in or the satisfaction on the backside of that was far more valuable to you.
Way more important and way more valuable. Absolutely.
Yeah. I didn't even think we'd go there today, but that's cool stuff. And that's so right. And I've said this before, people that come to our office or call me out of the blue or work with a different advisor, you know, they focus on the numbers, and the numbers are a scorecard, but a scorecard doesn't define how smart you are or how successful you are in life. It's just a piece, a tiny piece. And there's so many things that are more important, you know? And so you gotta put in the work. And if you have somebody kicking you in the tail to be knowledgeable and to work harder, it's a good thing.
Yes.
Good thing.
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. You know, it's invaluable. And, you know, people say this all the time, but it is the God's truth. Nobody ever does anything alone. You know, they don't.
Yeah.
They do it. They do it in concert with people. They're supported by people. You know, there are other people involved at some point or another, almost always. I suppose, you know, I'm sure we could sit here and put our brains together and think about people who climbed Everest on their own, you know, or who successfully executed financial plans and savings all on their own and came from nothing to a whole lot of something. But those people are unusual.
Right. And this is jumping out at me. I think there's a movie that's either come out or coming out about, it's a true story of this lady in her 60s that swam from, I think it was Cuba to Miami or something like that, you know?
Yes.
And even that feat right there, it just sounds like, well, she did it. She was the one. No, she had a coach. You know, and she had a support boat right there too. I mean, not to save, well, to save her. I mean, if something
yeah, right,
went south,
no.
but to your point, even a really, really big feat that seems like quite an achievement for one individual, there was people behind the scenes.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm trying to remember her name. I know exactly who you're talking about, though. No, she had a a boat that rode along beside her. They gave her, provided her water. They gave her nutrition. They let her take a break. She didn't, you know, she had an entire support team. Absolutely. And I can't think of her name. Dadgummit, that's going to drive me crazy.
but you know, to your point, if I go to the coolest rock and roll concert in history, but I go stand by myself over in a corner, that's not the same as if my best friend wife is sitting next to me or my best buddies are there. You know, there's people in your corner.
Yeah. You know, 100%, 100%.
When you talk about doing these major feats, or I called it like a big audacious goal, you know, I mean, what is the downfall for a lot of people? And I think it's overconfidence. But and that's maybe not just climbing a mountain. It's investing on their own. It's flipping rental properties or you know, house property. You know, people just think there's an easy way to make money and get rich and wealthy. And for the vast, vast majority of people, there's not.
Right.
And essentially, the only ones we're talking about here is if you just inherited an absolute ton of money or you won the lottery. But, you know, there's a lot of people playing the lottery that do not win.
Amazingly, yeah, they don't. I think the odds are a little staggering against you, winning.
The winner is government who takes a tax from all those things.
You know, winner's the house.
I mean, casinos. I mean, we can go down all those paths, but just think about it. If you're overconfident on, I can quit smoking next year. I can quit drinking later. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It isn't just, I don't know, just it drives me crazy, you know? And that's far more important than essentially the route you're on is important, but I think that overconfidence thing is super, super important.
Yeah, and I think when you're overconfident, sometimes you do ignore the sort of necessary preparation that goes into it, because you think, well, I can do this. I do these things already. I know what I'm going to do. I know how I can do it. I know I can do it. But you really don't know, because you don't have the knowledge of having done it before. And the idea of somebody helping you prepare, whether it's to climb Mount Kilimanjaro or to execute a financial plan, is that you want to have an expert guide you and say, those are good ideas. That's good. Have you thought about doing this? Because that one's not a bad, that's not a good idea.
Yeah. You know, and if you don't have a guide, you know, here's a good example. You know, there's a certain percentage of people in our country that over 90% of their income in retirement is their Social Security.
Yeah.
The number, you know, according to the studies I've seen, is, you know, so maybe it's like 20%. So one out of five households, we'll say, that's in retirement, you know, they're just banking on that check coming in. Now,
that's kind of scary.
It is scary, you know, and we've said that before. I mean, this is kind of the result of consequences for a lot of people, that, man, you got to have your own bucket. You got to save, you know?
Yeah.
And that's where the guide or somebody early in life, if it's not your parents or, you know, somebody you trust or a mentor, man, try and learn something from somebody and create your own path. And yeah, here we go. Maybe this will be the start of my political career, but I just read a story this morning that the Department of Labor has approved this concept of having an emergency fund inside of 401k plans in the country. You know, in case somebody needs to buy a refrigerator. This is exactly what was in the labor secretary's comments, you know, that they're going to allow essentially the average Joe or Jane worker to have a small little bucket they can fund in their retirement plan at work for the simple purpose of taking money out of it without penalties or taxes for emergencies.
An emergency fund. Oh, that's interesting. It's a very interesting idea.
You know, the idea is good, but why the hell can't these people just do it on their own? That's my point.
Well, yeah.
You know, how great. I mean,
I agree, but you know, the reason we have Social Security is that because during the Great Depression, back in the 30s, late 30s, the feeling was people were not saving. And maybe if there was a forced savings account, as it were, with Social Security, they would at least have some kind of savings when they got to the end of their career.
Yep.
Their working life.
And I get it. But at some point, do we have to hold people's hands over and over and over? I guess is maybe my, I just read this article before I came in here, so that's why I'm all wound up today. But, you know, pretty soon do I have to eat vegetables because it's good for me? Because the labor secretary like, says,
listen, I can walk down that road with you all the way to the bank. There's a difference between having a coach and having somebody who knows what's going on and guiding you and helping you and telling you things that will work, things that, you know, have a greater probability of benefiting you than there is having somebody tell you what to do. There's a big difference.
That's a very good point. I'm glad you reined me in.
Get back over here, Corey. Come on, buddy.
You normally don't see me get this wound up. I don't know what's going on. Yeah. There you go.
It's the idea. You know, I totally understand it, and I can get as wound up about that idea as you, you know, so that it's like, but bringing it back to mountain climbing really and truly, for those who are sticking with us through this conversation, clearly the things that go into preparing it and the things that go into executing it have a lot of parallels in life.
And I'll give you one more, and we haven't even touched on this. This is maybe the most interesting thing to me is that in mountain climbing, a lot of the injuries and or deaths are on the descent of coming back down the mountain.
Really?
Statistics show that there's more injuries and deaths coming back down the mountain. Now, why is that? Number one, it might be lack of focus. Hey, I've achieved this goal. Here we go. Ha ha. We're going to go down. You know,
yay.
Some of it's fatigue. You know,
I would bet a fair amount of it's due to fatigue. Yeah.
Fatigue, mental, you know, you can go down that path. And honestly, it's just dangerous. You know, if you kind of think about it, I mean, sort of climbing up or walking up a gradual incline, to me, it seems like walking down that same incline could potentially pose more threats. I don't know.
Well, you know what? I have one small aside here. I don't know if you've ever been out west to New Mexico and seen the cliff dwellings. But there are abandoned dwellings where Native Americans, I can't remember the tribe, lived on the side of cliffs. And these things are really impressive. And when you go there as a tourist, you're like, wow, this is great. And my son was like, let's go, just go climb up and do this. My wife's like, no, I'm not going to do that. And I'm like, okay, sure, let's do that. So we went climbing because I'm not that, I really don't have much fear of heights. We climb up. And then suddenly I realize we have climbed up all these ladders and stairs and we're way up on the side of a cliff. And like the idea of coming down was way more daunting than the thing going up. It was like, you know, suddenly I realized, oh, we have to get down from here now.
That's awesome. That is awesome.
So, yeah.
Oh, there you go.
So I want to know how this comes back to Miley Cyrus, buddy.
Well, you know, my best comment to that is, ain't about how fast I get there. Ain't about what's waiting on the other side. It's the climb.
Yes.
So there you go. There's three lines from her song. Boom.
There you are. Well done.
The climb is the important part. There you go.
Yeah. Well, you know, for people who want to do their own financial climb, Corey, how do they get a hold of you?
Give me a call or any member of our team here. And that's at 800-657-4316.
That's great. Do they get a person or do they get some kind of robo thing?
You are going to get a person. A live person will answer the phone and friendly voices will answer your question or tell you what you need to know, or we'll just send you a free book, whatever you want to do.
Oh, that's fantastic. That's great. Corey, it's always great visiting with you. And it is interesting the way your mind works, to put it nicely.
I'll take it as a compliment. Thank you.
You should. I'm sure. I know viewers were listening to this, stayed on all the way through because it was an interesting conversation. And for those of you who are not already a subscriber, this is easy. hit the subscribe button. Doesn't get any easier than that. And then you will never miss another episode of this podcast. We would also ask that if you like it, you know, get rated, share it with other people, help spread the word about the WIN podcast. On behalf of Corey, I'm his producer, Bill Tucker, wishing you a great day and reminding you that you can go out and make it a great day today or not. It's your choice. Have a good one.
Thank you for listening to the WIN podcast, What's Important Now, the show that helps you achieve your financial dreams. To ask questions about topics covered during the show or get a copy of Stop Doing Dumb Things with Your Money by Corey Hymanson, visit www.hymansonwealth.com or give us a call at 712-472-3867. Don't forget to click the follow button below to be notified when new episodes become available. Securities offered through Securities America, Inc., member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services offered through Securities America Advisors, Inc. Hymanson Wealth Advisors and Securities America are separate entities.